Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says, are y'all ready? Okay. Says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Holy Spirit, help me say what I need to say today, and we believe You to give us a message from our Father. So we just put all our trust in You today. We thank You for that and pray it in Your name, Jesus. We must believe. Now, we went through a lot of this last week. I won't do a lot. I won't review anything, but we must believe. We must believe He is. And I said last week, this is more than just believing that He is God. This is more than just believing He exists. Because everybody knows He exists. Even if you're an atheist, you know somewhere inside of you, you know there's really a God. The devil knows there's a God. But he to know who He is, to know His nature. See, God wants so much for us to know Him. Wants us to know what we just sang about, how much He loves us. Wants us to know how much He cares about us. Wants us to know how He really is and who He really is. Wants us to know how He feels about us and what all He wants to do in our lives, do for us. And so it's impossible to please Him without faith. But let me say something else. It's impossible to have faith unless you really know who He is. It's impossible to have faith that you need in your time of crisis if you don't know how He feels about you, how much He loves you, how much He'll move heaven and earth just to touch you and to help you. I mean, He moved everything to get you back. He gave everything He had to get you back. And Jesus came and restored that relationship. Became the sacrifice for everything that keeps us separated from God. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty happy about that. Amen. So He wants us to know. He wants us to know how Him. I want you. Every service I pray, God, let me do something. Let me say something that pulls us all closer to You. I want you to have a close relationship, but I want and a close walk with God. And that's what He wants. Because see, I know if I get close enough to God, I don't have to worry about anything else. So if you'll forgive me, I don't chase a lot of things, a lot of rabbits. I don't go a lot of directions. I mean, you can get teaching on any subject you want to get teaching on. Just Google it. But God's doing something unique right here, and He hadn't let me get away from this, and so I'm going to stay on it here for another week at least. But He's doing something so special here. That I believe He's going to raise you up, raise us up as a church. When we say raise the church up, you are the church. But I believe He's going to raise you up in such a degree that folks everywhere around look at you and they look past your faults, they look past your inabilities, they look past your lack of talent or anything else, and they look and they see Jesus Christ in you. And that's what everybody's needing. That's what everybody's wanting. That's what you're wanting. And you can chase all kinds of things to try to be satisfied, to try to fill that void in your life. But Jesus is the only one that can fill it. And what His will for our life. So I want you to know God, and I want to talk about walking with Him, and I want to talk about closeness with Him, and to walk with Him is to have a relationship with Him. To walk with Him is to know Him. To walk with Him is to live for Him. I want to, three things that I believe that we can get in a habit of every day that will literally change the course of our life. And so real quick, the first thing that I want to share with you is that if you need, we need to expect God's goodness. I mean, we expect everything bad to happen. We expect a storm in every cloud. We expect all this stuff that could happen. I'm saying, can we turn our minds around? Can we change our thinking? Can we renew our mind, as Paul said? Can we begin to think like God thinks and walk and expect Him to bless you? Expect His goodness. You know, you can't walk with Him, and you can't get close to Him without His goodness manifesting in your life. It's impossible. Because He rewards any of us who seek Him, who diligently go after Him, who crave Him. I've got to have You, God. I want more of You, God. God, I'm not settling for any less than all You have. I want to know You. It's impossible to go after who He is and go after Him without having Him manifest in your life and manifest His goodness. So every day, I think now this is hard to do. You gotta change your habits. How many know everything you do is a habit? How many know a lot of our habits aren't really the best habits that we could have? But we can change our habits by continuing to do something long enough. And if you can begin to change your thinking today and begin to, when you get up in the morning, just expect something good to happen. Expect God's goodness to be in your life. Expect Him to be big. You know, we were created to thrive. Created to be on top. Created to be the head and not the tail. We are predestined to win. John 10:10, Jesus said this. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The NIV says that you might have it to the full. God wants you and me to live the fullest life in Him and for Him that we can. And if we're not careful, if we're not careful, we become survivors instead of thrivers. Okay? If we're not careful, we develop a mentality and a way of thinking, and we begin to say things like, well, I sure hope I can make it through this. Well, I sure hope God will heal me. I don't know how in the world we're going to make it, but I just hope some way we do. And hold it, there shouldn't be any question in your mind. You should expect God to be big in your life. You should expect Him to pour out His goodness into you. You know, there's always going to be some hard times. Jesus said there would be. In John 16, I just want to read you that. John 16:33 out of the Amplified. He says, now I have told you these things so that in Me you can have perfect peace and confidence. What kind of peace and confidence? In Him. Perfect in Him. See, I can have peace because I know my God's with me. I can have peace and I can have confidence because I know He's good. And I know He wants to be good to me. And I know He cares about me. Are you with me? Amen. He said, I have told you these things so that in Me you can have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you'll have tribulations, trials, distresses, frustrations. But be of good cheer and of good courage. Be confident, be certain, be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. You know what that means? That means anything the devil throws at you, he thinks it's his best shot. But in all things, God will be strong. In all things, he'll have the final say. In everything, no matter how far down in the pile of ashes we fall and get pushed down into, we got a God that always will lift us up, and my confidence is in him. No matter what happens, when he throws his best shot, then God comes back with his best shot and he raises us up, lifts us up. He conquered him for us. See, I don't have to be tough. Jesus is tough. I don't have to be afraid of the devil, and I don't have to think he's afraid of me. Because he's not. But he's afraid of who I know. Huh? He's afraid of who's in my heart. He's afraid of that greater one that's in me, because that greater one that's in me is greater than anything he can do and anything he is. Get up expecting something good to happen. You know, most of us, let me change that, all of us are living far below what God expects, what he wants to do. I'm not talking about you're doing right and straightening up your life and all. You can't straighten up your life, and no matter how hard you work to be right, you can't be right, because Jesus already made you right. So quit fighting for something you already have and just realize I'm right, I'm strong, not because of me, but because of him. Now that makes me want to live better. That makes me want to live closer. But it's because of him. He says, be of good cheer, I've overcome. Jesus didn't come and do what he did just so we could survive. He came so that we could thrive. He came so that we could win. So sometimes we just need to take a step of faith. Just start believing. You're believing for all the bad things, and they're happening. Huh? So why don't you believe for the good things and watch them start happening? Now when you begin to change your thinking and change your mind, when you begin to know him better, hey listen, you'll go through a period of time where the doubt comes in and you have to stand anyway. Where the confusion comes in and you wonder if it works because you tried it before and well, I know somebody that tried it and they really love God and it happened to them, and hold it. You are your own ship. You have a relationship with God. Your relationship with God is not dependent on anybody else but you. It doesn't matter if you tried and failed. Try again. Because the word is the truth. The circumstances are the liars. To know him. See, and we can't change our thinking without spending time in the Word. We can't change our thinking. We can't quit thinking what we think unless we start realizing what he thinks. Psalms 1 says this, says, but his delight, he's talking about the blessed person. How many here is blessed? Well, by the time we get done, the rest of you will realize you're blessed too. It says, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. Now that phrase, law of the Lord, when we read it in the Old Testament, it might throw us and everything, but when you see that phrase, just think of this. His delight and his desire are in the Word of God. The words that God has spoken and that he does speak. And on his law, on his precepts, instructions, and teachings, He habitually meditates and ponders and studies by day and by night. And when he does this, he'll be like a tree firmly planted and tended to by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not fade nor wither, and everything he does shall prosper, shall come to maturity. This tree that David's talking about here represents power and majesty and stability. God wants to stabilize your life. And to do that, to change your thinking, you have to take his thoughts. That's what he told Joshua. He said, meditate in my words day. And let me just read it real quick what he said. He says, only be strong. Now this is Joshua. Joshua's been in bondage. Joshua came out, delivered by Moses. And God came out of Egypt into the wilderness. This is Joshua that 40 years before, he went into the land and spied it out, what God told them they could have. He's the one that came back with a positive report. But for 40 years, he's been living in doubt. He's been seeing all the stuff God's kids are going through. So I want you to realize where he's coming from. And so now it's Joshua's turn to lead. And what he tells Joshua is, he says, be strong and of good courage. Joshua, you got to change the way you think. You got to lay all that past down and focus now on what I got for you. What I told Moses, I'm gonna tell you. What I gave to Moses, I'm giving to you. The promised land that I gave that you saw 40 years ago still belongs to my people. So be strong. He's encouraging him. For this people shall divide it as an inheritance the land. Anyway, he goes, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law, or all the word of God, which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. He goes on and he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, or you never quit saying God's word, never quit saying it, always have an answer in your mouth, always speak the word. He said, this book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you can observe to do according to all that's written in it. And when you do that, you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. He goes on and says, I've commanded you, be strong. Be strong and full of courage. Now what's God saying here? He's saying, Joshua, it's time to live in all that God has promised you. It's time, push away all the old thinking. You meditate on what I say day and night. You speak what I say day and night, and you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Joshua, my word will change your thinking, and if you change your thinking, your life will change, and you'll walk in all that I have. Is that making sense? Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This believing God, having confidence and peace in God, gives me substance in my life for the things that I hope for. Now that word hope isn't, oh, I sure hope he'll do it. No, that word hope means, it's a cousin of the word faith, and it means having a confident expectation. I believe my God loves me. I believe my God wants to do good things for me. I believe he has great plans for my life. You understand? And that is the substance. I'm not thinking it. I'm not hoping it. No, I know it. When I'm facing something, I know God's there. I know he's going to take care of me. See, being strong just means God wants us strong. He wants you to have a strong relationship with Him. But He wants us to have strong relationships with each other. He wants us to have... Why do you think He tries to get you mad at that person all the time? Why do you think that there's somebody... You know, usually when somebody makes you mad, it's because they act too much like you do. We could pitch a tent right there, couldn't we? And you see something in them that you know's in you and you don't like it in you, so it's easier to get mad at you than it is to get mad at me. Leave that alone. He wants you to be healthy in your relationships. He wants you to be healthy in your body. He wants you to be healthy in your finances. He wants to bless and touch every area of your life. And He says, if you'll start meditating on My thoughts, if you'll start thinking the way I think, if you'll start believing the way I believe, if you would just think about you like I think about you, you wouldn't have any more problems. Isaiah 26, He says, He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him because you trust Him. See, He wants you to fill your heart and mind. Fill your heart. How do I want to say that? Fill your heart with God's Word. Always keep it before your eyes. And always speak it with your mouth. And you start watching things change. I love Psalms 112, 4. It says, when darkness overtakes the godly, light will come bursting forth. You know, you can be in the middle of something. How many's ever been in the middle of a trial or a crisis? And this all of a sudden, something out of your innermost being, I call it rivers of living water, just flow out and you're not even thinking about it. But you come out with something God said against that thing that you're facing. That confidence raises, that peace comes back. It might not look good. Might not feel good. You might not understand it, but you know God's on your side. You know He's working for you. You know He's helping you. In fact, let's just give God a clap. Let's just give Him a praise clap, man. Just tell Him you love Him and you're thankful. My goodness. Exodus 34, verse 10, says the Lord said this. He said, I'm making a covenant with you. He told Moses, I'm making a covenant with you. And speaking of covenants, last Sunday night, Frank began to introduce us to the covenant. To the covenant. And the covenant, just if you just don't understand the word covenant, just remember one little thought. That just means He's with me. He's with me. He made a covenant with me. Now, I think we're going to do some more on that next Sunday night. Tonight, we're going to eat stuffed baked potatoes. But next Sunday night, we'll have some more. But he tells Moses, I am making a covenant with you. Now, listen to this. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome it is. The work that I do, I the Lord, will do for you. Now grab that. Folks, we need the supernatural power of God in our life. That isn't always some spooky miracle, some spooky something, but I face a natural world and I need supernatural things to overcome the things in this world. That's what Jesus was saying when He says, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. He said, I've overcome this world for you. I've deprived it of anything that'll ever hurt you. I've already bound that thing up. I've already taken care of that. Can you walk through this land, Hank, with a confidence? Can you walk through this land, Hank, with a peace that I am with you? I can walk through that valley of the shadow of death and I don't fear because my God's with me. My God's with me. Listen to me. Just like he told Israel, he's saying to me and to you today, he's saying, I want to do... Let me change that. He's saying, I plan to do some things in your life that nobody has ever seen before. I'm going to do something so big in your life, so dynamic, so big in your life that all the people that look at you will know how awesome I am. That's what Jesus said. He says, you can ask anything in my name. Ask it so Father will be glorified. Why don't you ask for something too big? Why don't you ask for a new truck? We got a new truck this week, somebody did. Why don't you ask for a new house? Why don't you ask for a new van? Why don't you ask God for some stuff? He wants to show you His goodness. He wants to show you His goodness. Matter of fact, right now, Father, I speak to every person that you've allowed me to be the pastor of. I speak into their lives, and I thank you that you're beginning, and thank you for what you're doing and going to do. I thank you for doing some things so big in their life that everybody that sees them will just have their mouth open. They won't believe that you would do that for somebody. They won't believe that they just look at it and they'll just be shocked that you're so awesome. And we'll bring glory to you, God. Instead of people running from the church, people will be running to you, God, because they'll want some of you. Whew, I don't know how I get back to this. He wants to do something for you so astounding, so remarkable, so overwhelming, so breathtaking, that all the people around you will look and see how awesome He is. See what kind of God you serve. That's okay. Hey, after that doctor's told you you have the big C and you come back and they check you again and it's not there, you tell them who did it. Tell them who did it. You ought to expect it. Man, you ought to expect goodness. You ought to expect stuff, and God's Word's full of it. Now, we have to expect, but I want to just remind you something Joshua said here. I'm going to go real fast here. But he said, observe and do. Observe and do. I can't live out of God's will and expect all His abundant blessings on my life. Hear me. See, he wasn't just telling Joshua, you're going to be the head of a CEO of a big company. I'm going to make you have all kinds of money. No, he said, as you go and do what I told you to do, you're going to make your way prosperous and you're going to be successful. Listen to me. I mean, you go after what He's got for your life. You just go after living for Him. And I'm telling you, you can't even desire anything. You can't even imagine anything He won't do for you. Just don't get your focus on the blessings. Keep it on the blesser. Thank you. That was a good place. Matthew, in John 14:21, he says, if you have my words and you keep them, I didn't look this up, I don't have time to look it up. But it's, in other words, if you have my words and you keep them, I'll come and manifest myself to you. He said, if you know my word and you keep it, that means you love me. And if you love me, my Father will love you. And boy, if we love you, I'm gonna come and manifest myself to you. So, Father, I want to do what you want me to do. Father, I want to live for you. God, I want all this stuff out of my life. All this stuff out of my life that's separating me from you. I don't want anything. all these attitudes, all these tempers, all this dumb stuff I do. I don't want to do that anymore, God. Am I talking to anybody? I love
when Jesus did his first miracle. Not just because he turned water into wine. That isn't why I love it. But some of you winos, that's why you like that verse. But
I love that. See, Jesus didn't even think it was time for him to start his ministry, but Mama knew. Huh? And she said, hey, son, they're out of wine. He said, what are you telling me for? My time hadn't come yet. What are you bothering me for? She didn't even bat an eye. She looked at the servants. She looked at him and she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it.
That'd be a good sermon.
I'm saying whatever he tells you to do, do it.
Well, I just don't know. That just doesn't make any sense. I just don't know what.
Shut up and do it. He got something waiting for you when you do it. He wouldn't be telling you to do it if he wasn't going to bless you, if he wasn't going to be good to you, if he didn't have something spectacular waiting for you. He's not just trying to get us to be robots that obey him all the time. He's trying to cause me to step into his goodness every step I take. He's ordered my steps.
All to expect it. Jesus said in John 15, he said, if you remain in my word and my word remains in you, or if you, the King James says abide, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you, or if you remain in me and my word remains in you, whatever you desire, whatever you wish will be given to you.
I can wish some things. I can desire some things. How many would like me to desire something for you? Huh? Well, I am. But I'm trying to get you to desire something for yourself.
Would he do that for me? Well, Psalms 84 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor on you. And no good thing does he withhold from those who walk blameless.
I have his favor. I have his honor. He doesn't hold back any good thing from me. Huh? You've got to think this for you. So the audacity. Yes, I have the audacity to believe God's word. Now, don't let that word blameless mess you up. Oh, yeah, but if I was only blameless. Well, I'm sorry. The only reason you're blameless is because Jesus was blameless and he paid a price for you. Quit working so hard to get something you already got. Are you walking in the light that you have? If you're walking in all that God's told you, if you're walking in the light that you have, then you're blameless. You're righteous. Whatever he says to do, do it. Huh? It's so important to have this word in you and for you to be in the word. And for, you know, I said, God, I want to know you. I want to know you better. And he said, well, then you have to spend more time with me. Amen. And it's so important because as we do that, it's called growth. Growth. There's only one way you grow. That's to spend time with God. Spend time in His Word. Spend time talking to Him. Spend time fellowshipping with Him. Is this making any sense? I might not get everywhere I wanted to get today, but that's okay. We'll get where God wants us to be. But years ago, I was living in Arkansas, and I came up to the car sale in Springfield, and I saw Van Benson there. Some of you know Van Benson. And him and Tammy, they do the color thing, and he was at a sale. I hadn't seen him in years, and I said, Van, how are you doing? He looked at me so serious. He said, Hank, I'm trying to catch up on the inside with all God's done on the outside. We have to grow on the inside. If we don't grow on the inside faster than the goodness of God comes, the blessings come, then they get us. They overtake us. I don't know if that's making any sense. What he's trying to say is, quit trying to just get all the blessings. Let me build you inside. Let me make you that tree. And in the right season, in the right season, that fruit will be produced in your life. You can't grow fruit. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can grow it. Another sermon. Expect God's goodness every place you go. I expect good things to happen to me. In the restaurant here not long ago, and I went to pay, and the cashier said, "Well, somebody already paid your bill." And I said, "Well, I believe that. I thought it. I believe that." I mean, I didn't act cocky. I didn't act arrogant. I didn't act ungrateful. I was grateful. I turned around and started saying, "Thank you, God." But that doesn't surprise me when good things are happening. Somebody walked up to me and handed me a handful of money here not long ago. And they handed me a handful of money and they said, "God told me to give this to you." And I thanked them, but I thought inside, that doesn't surprise me. Huh? Now, I didn't act cocky and I didn't act arrogant, but I just took it and received it, and I thanked God for it, and I spoke His blessing on the one that gave it to me. But in my heart, I said, "That doesn't surprise me, God. You told a whole bunch more people to do this and they didn't do it yet." Huh? Well, He told me a bunch of times to give something and I didn't do it. That's how I know that works for all of us. Are you with me? Expect His goodness. Expect it. Man, I expect good things to happen. I expect when I pull up to a store or parking space close. I expect it. I expect to get a close. And if there isn't one right next to the building, then I just go, "Hey, hallelujah, I needed to walk today. Thank you for giving me this one." Well, expect it. Number two is recognize God's goodness. You know, most of the time we just pass by or explain away the things God does for us. Recognize it. Somebody got this something good happened to this person, and they looked at me and they said, "Do you think that was God?" And I went, "Duh. Do I think that was God? Was it good?" Everybody say that with me. If it's good, it's from. If it's bad, it's from. See, there's not any coincidences. It's not lucky breaks. Everything that happens to you good is God. And more stuff would be happening good if we'd pay attention. The world's full of His goodness. And if we'd pay attention, here years back, God told me, and I'm still working trying to do it. So when you walk up to somebody and they say, "Well, I haven't been feeling good," or they say, "Well, I'm having a little financial trouble," or they say, "Well, I'm a little discouraged," He said, "Pray for them right then." Don't say, "Well, I'll pray for you, sister. I'll pray for you, brother," because we don't ever do it. We get away and forget about it. He said, "Pray for them right then." And then a little voice inside said, "Because I'm going to do it anyway. But if you pray for them, they will remember when you prayed and they will know that it was me that did it." Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord and don't forget all His benefits." Hey, He forgives us. He heals us. He redeems us. He redeems our life from destruction. He shows us His tender love and mercy. He satisfies us with good things. He renews our strength. I'm telling you what, the world is full of His benefits. Exodus 33 says, the Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on who I will have compassion." Psalms 20:33 says, "The earth is full of the goodness of God." 2 Corinthians 16:9, he says that he goes to and fro across all the earth just looking for anybody's heart who's directed towards him so that he can do strong, big things in their life. He says, so I can perform for you. Psalms 23, he says that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Are you getting this? His goodness is before us. His goodness is with us. And His goodness is following us. I'm sorry, but you can't lose unless you want to. The last thing is, thank Him for it. Thank Him for His goodness. Huh? Every time something happens, thank Him. I don't care if it's that little parking spot. Thank Him. Real quick, Psalms 26 says that David said that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all your wonders, tell of all your wondrous works. Psalms 95 says, enter into His presence with thanksgiving. Psalms 100 says, into His gates with thanksgiving. Psalms 34:1 says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak His praises. Listen, we got a choice. I just need to stop here. We have been getting, Proverbs says that out of our mouth, that words, in our words are death and life. In the power of the tongue is life and death. I can speak blessings or I can speak cursings. Listen, what I've decided is now what does all this say? I've said expect goodness, God's goodness. I've said recognize it when it comes. I've said and thank Him for it. How does this look? I wake up in the morning going, thank You, Lord. This is going to be a day. You got some good things planned for me. You're going to let me help somebody. You're going to do something inside of me. I just thank You. You're going to do great things for me today. I'm expecting Your favor. I'm expecting Your goodness. And then I get up and I start looking for it. And every time something happens, I don't care if I lost my keys and can't find them. He helps me find them. I mean, I don't care if it's that parking place. Thank You, Jesus, for that parking place. And like I said, if it's far away from thing, I say, thank You, Lord, for this parking place. I guess You wanted me to get a little exercise today. That's good for me because I need it. You know, I'm talking about being thankful. I wake up and I think, this doesn't come automatically. You got to do this on purpose. You got to change your mind. A few years back, I was in a mess. Our church had gone through some stuff, and I'm gonna tell you what, man. I had lost my confidence. I'd lost my faith. I didn't show it to most of you. I'd get up and everybody go, oh, that was a good message, but inside there wasn't anything. And I would wake up in the night fearful, and I would just be worried about this and worried about that, and that went on for a year at least. And finally, one morning I woke up and I said, God, You got to help me. He said, I've already helped you. You have to do something. And that's when I started the thoughts for the day, several years ago. He said, you got to think different. You got to change your thinking. You're going to stay depressed. You can ask Him to deliver you, but even if He does, you're going to get back depressed again because that's the way you're thinking. Does this make any sense? See, I'll meditate in Him. I'll spend time with Him. And now those thoughts still come. They still come to worry or to fret. I just go, nope, nope. Oh, man, no, You love me. Every time I get down on myself and that thought comes, I start to go, You are, I go, oh, yeah, but You love me, God. Do You care about me? Recognize, expect that goodness and recognize it. I walk through the whole day talking to Him all the time. People think I'm talking to myself. They think I'm crazy. I'm telling you what, I just thank Him. This morning I woke up and I hadn't wore this shirt in years because it wouldn't fit. And so I put it on. I was ironing it and it had a button off. Went, oh no. I go and I try to find a button. And then do you understand how hard it is when you can't hardly read without your glasses, to thread a needle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't going to tell this. I need to quit here. But and I said, God, I didn't get frustrated. I didn't throw the needle like I usually do. Didn't stomp. I wanted to wear a tie today. I just said, Lord, you help me do this. And I kept missing. And I kept missing. And I had glasses. Finally, I got Pam. I said, come in here. I said, get a magnifying glass. And she's holding a magnifying glass. And I'm still missing. And I'm still, you know. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me do this. And it just went, shh. And I went, did that go through? Oh. I'm telling you, little, big, a parking space. I'm telling you everything, man. God, my days are full of God's goodness. And I'm going to pay attention to it. And I'm just going to tell it. And if you walk around with me, you're going to get sick of hearing me say that kind of stuff. You're just going to get tired of hearing me say it. Because God's good. Huh? He's good. And I'm living in it. And I'm grateful for it. Expect it. Recognize it. And thank Him for it. He does something for you. Even if you think He did it, you ought to tell everybody. Now, that x-ray comes back different than it was. You ought to tell everybody. Shout it from the rooftop. Well, did you get anything? We're done. Before we go, how many start trying to change your thinking? How many just say, Lord, help me. Help me change my thinking. I want to start thinking more like you. And that has to be all of us, because you never arrive. We're content. We're always a work in progress. Once I think I got something, then He opens up a whole new dimension. I go, whew, God, I don't know nothing, do I? Oh, He's just so exciting. He just wants to keep doing those things in our life. But everybody, just say something with you right now. You don't have to say it real loud. Just say it, Lord, help me think different. Help me think your thoughts, because your thoughts bring me hope and future. Let me speak your thoughts, because your word won't come back void. If you really decide that, every once in a while, I just say, Lord, open up my mind. I'm too limited. I'm thinking too little. I'm thinking I'm back in a rut here. I'm back in a routine here. Open up my mind. Let me tell me things that expand me, that surprise me. Change my thinking, Lord. Change my thinking. Before we go, Father, I'm asking you to change our thinking. I know you've shown me a little glimpse of what you want to do in our lives. God, I don't have anything to do with anything anyplace else. I can't speak into those people's lives, but I can speak and believe for the people that you've given me to be pastor over. And I speak your fullness into them. I speak your goodness into them. And God, we're coming. I know we're slow, but we're coming. We're coming. And we're letting everybody know along the way, God. So I thank you for opening up the windows and blessing my people, God. I'm blessing them. And before we go, I want to talk to whoever it is in here. Whoever it is in here that you know in your heart you're not right with God. You know, something's not right. You just know you're not right. Maybe you've never asked Him into your heart. Maybe you have, but you just know you're not living for Him, and you just know you're not right with God right now. I don't want you to leave this earth and not be right with God. I don't want you to go into His presence and not be right with Him. And I guess if He could say anything to you today, He'd be saying, my heart is broken for you. My heart's broken for you. I love you so much. I want to spend eternity with you. Will you just come to me? Will you just come to me? I love you so much. I want you. I want to help you. I want to walk with you. Be with you. Will you just come to me? Will you just come and give me a chance? Would you just come and let me come into your life, into your heart? I want to show you how much I love you. Give me a chance. Give me a chance. Everybody stand. If God spoke to your heart there, I want you just to come on down and let somebody pray with you. Let one of us pray with you. Maybe you're saved and everything, but there's something you just want somebody to pray with you and agree with you. Maybe you're here and you've never asked Him into your heart. Listen to His heart cry for you. Come to me. Come to me. If you need to come, you come. And even if you're saved and you need to come for anything, you come. Maybe you just want to pray. You just want to, it doesn't matter. If He's telling you to do something, do it. Do it. And the rest of us will just praise. He's good. He's good. Who else going to come? Come on. Who else going to come? Praise the Lord. Who else? Come on. Come on. Tracy. Come on. He's spoken to your heart. You felt that tug in there. Come on. Never going to let you down. 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 Who else? Come on. Come on. Who else? He never will let you down. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. Hurry up. There's still two more. There's still two more that need to come. God spoke to your heart. Come on. Come on. Come on. While they're coming, you've been dominated by that fear when I started talking about that. You've been dominated by that. Right now, make a stand. Right now, say, I'm not going to think that way anymore. I'm not going to be that way anymore. God, I believe you to help me. And I want you to start, make up your mind. You're going to change the habit of worry. Change that habit of fear. You're going to start thinking like He thinks. Get in this Word. Find some promises. Put them in your heart. And when those thoughts come, you speak back to those thoughts. Only speak the Word back to them. Who else going to come? Anybody else going to come? Hurry. Hurry. If you didn't come, you feel free to come as soon as we dismiss here. We'll still be happy to pray for you. And with you. Steve's here, I'm here, Charles is here, Doug, Mardell, we're here. We're here to pray with you. Because we want all God has for you to manifest in your life. Hey, I speak His blessings on you, and I believe this to be the best day and the best week that you've ever had. I believe the Holy Spirit to pull you closer to God than you've ever been before. How many is expecting something good to happen this week? Hey, I love you. Come to the business meeting at 5 o'clock over here. You need to see where we're at as a church and what's going on. Be at the business meeting. And